things we're dealing with are threats to humanity unlike anything the world has ever seen before.
We can bequeath our children a greener planet and a more prosperous future.
That's what climate change is about. It is literally, not figuratively, a clear and present danger.
If unprecedented changes are not made, and made soon, there will be irreversible damage to the planet.
Zero Carbon.
East Talk.
Hello and welcome to Zero Carbon East, Series 5, Just Stop the Tories. I'm Ian Collins, and this is the go-to podcast for all environment-based matters. If it's green, it is in. And it's all manner of green today, Dale. And I think we should start off with everybody's favourite feature. People are talking about this in pubs now, on their way to work, on the morning commute. It's right-wing nuts.
I love it. And this week, we've got ourselves a bit of a nut cluster, I think.
The cluster has been opened. And who is in there this week, Dan?
Well, it's our good friend, Julia Hartley Brewer. We mentioned her last week. I got a touch of PTSD from a feisty encounter with her on a radio show. But this week, it's not her, actually, so much as Reform. One of the candidates, Ben Habib, had an interview with Julia Hartley Brewer on the radio. And he told her that he would let immigrants drown in the channel. And Julia, bless her, was kind of shocked. And she said, that doesn't happen in you know, decent democracies. The kind of ironic, funny, surprising thing about all of this is I'm in a little bit of a fun fight with Richard Tice, leader of Reform Party, for calling them a far-right party and him a far-right leader. Julia Hartley Brewer is, of course, a fairly far-right radio host. And here you have her talking to this guy that would let immigrants drown in the channel. I mean, just how far-right is Reform when they have people, candidates, speaking for them in public and saying stuff like that?
Yeah, and Julia was, because I saw this piece, and Julia was completely shocked by this. Yes, and said, seriously? You can't do that. Yeah, on social media, everybody's sort of leaping to Julia's defense. And people going, look, I don't normally agree with anything this woman says, but she's bang on this one.
No, that's why it's like roles reverse. I had in my head there for a minute, that's me and her, right? And I'm like, seriously? How can you say that? And this is her saying that to a guy from Reform. But it makes sense, right? Because they are a far-right party. I'm just going to say that again, Richard, if you're listening. I think it's a fair comment.
He would say a centre-right party and the home of, you know, common sense. I'm just going to put my Reform hat on here, Dale.
Go on, then.
Just for the sake of balance. It's a centre-right party who speaks the language of ordinary people. There you go.
And ordinary people think that immigrants should drown in the channel.
Where's Julia Hartley Brewer when you need her?
Mm.
Julia?
Come on. And then a link to that, we've got Lawrence Fox, just been ordered to pay 180 grand in damages to two people he referred to as paedophiles. I look at that story and I think, Lawrence Fox, is he in the Reform Party? I think he probably should be if he's not.
No, I'll tell you what he was in. I don't think he was ever in the Reform Party, but he started a party called the Reclaim Party, which sounds a bit like the Reform Party, but it's not. It's the Reclaim Party. Never confuse the two. They're very, very different beasts. Now, I don't know whether the Reclaim Party is still going, but Lawrence Fox was, I think, the leader of it, and I think he stood in an election, by-election somewhere quite recently. I don't know what the status of the Reclaim Party currently is, whether it's active or inactive, but it's 180,000 quid lighter, whatever it is.
Yes. I imagine it's a one-man band, that party. He's the leader and the membership all in one.
Well, I mean, the takeaway for me on this one is that, you know, for too long, people have kind of looked at, and I'm not specifically talking about him, but anybody, think of social media as sort of a wild west. Yeah, you can say anything you like. It's great, man. You can just like call people a paedophile or, you know, a thief, whatever. You can do anything you like. And of course, you literally cannot do that because there are laws of defamation, there are laws of incitement, and there are laws of libel. And you are literally subject to the same laws as somebody who publishes The Guardian or The Telegraph. When you put a post on social media. And I don't think many people quite realize that.
No, I don't. And now you come to mention it, my battle with a handful of right-wing media outlets is continuing, legal battle. The Mail will be the latest newspaper to capitulate, correct a wrongness, a wrong headline and that kind of stuff. They're going to pay a sum in damages, which I'm going to dedicate to a Palestinian charity. You know, there's a few more to go, including our friend Richard Tyson.
So the Mail have already agreed to that?
They have, yeah. They've.
This was over the same libel, essentially.
Yeah, same story. They said something different, but same story, yeah. And, yeah, Tyson's digging in, but I can't imagine he wants to go to court over it. Or his countersuit, which is that I called him a far-right leader. It's like, well, it would be fun, actually, in court to explore that. When you, we've started to pull together some of the crazy things that his members have said, remembering, I think he's sacked 96 of them so far, I think, for being outrageous on social media. Some of the crazy things they've said, and you say, this is not constituting far right. I think he's got no chance.
Here's a question from Jane, who says, Claire Cortino said, how the UK is the first country of all major economies to have halved our emissions, but exactly where are we compared to others? And why has net zero fallen so far down our list of priorities?
Well, I think we did that mostly with a move away from coal, and it's measured from the 90s, I think, this halving. And, you know, we've done well when you look at it that way. But as I say, most of it was dumping coal. We have had a big increase in renewable energy. I think we've got a story on that in a minute. I don't think we're doing amazingly better than anybody else in the world, or worse, actually. I think we're in the mix. I think China have just overtook us, for example. But why has it fallen so far down our list of properties? You've got to say one word, Sunak.
But of course, they've got strange things going on in Scotland at the moment, haven't they, where the SNP are about to collapse. Their leader looks set to have to resign because of a vote of no confidence. And that's because he was in a coalition with the Green Party and decided to remove some of their environment-based policies. Mm. Much to the disquiet, completely understandably, of the Greens. So they just said to Humza Yousaf,
do one.
And I don't think they use, that's not very parliamentary language, but essentially, now he's going to have to walk the plank as a result of this. So the pressure is really on.
Yeah, I don't understand what the SNP are doing. It's like they've found the self-destruct button and they just keep pressing it. It's like Nicola Sturgeon's husband has just been charged with embezzlement, for example. And
innocent until proven guilty, Dale.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's not reflecting very well on the party, is it? And then they go and do this. I mean, why scrap green policies? They're super popular. Why do it when you're in power because you're in a coalition with a Green Party? I mean, that's a bit dumb, isn't it? You know what I mean? I mean, did he not talk to them first and say, hey, guys, I'd like to slash some of these green policies. Would you mind? Would you leg it, you know, if I do?
What about the UK's power grid is off to its greenest start ever this year? I think this is a really interesting point because every time one of the kind of go-to arguments from people who are not buying into this whole area is that, well, you know, if the wind don't blow down, don't get no lecky.
That's it. Julie Hartley, Brewer territory. I'm just going to say that. I don't want to keep mentioning it because we'll all have nightmares. But look, this is a great story. Wind has produced more power than oil, gas, and coal combined. And that's the first time it's happened. And right now in April, we're like 3 weeks in or something like that. Twice as much electricity has come from wind as from gas. So stick that in your right-wing pipes and smoke it, people.
There it is. Question here that comes in from Eddie. How can we properly hold celebrities like Taylor Swift, one of your favourites, Dale, to account for their massive carbon footprints?
Oh, I have no idea. I think we can't, actually. I mean,
do you think we should sell our tickets on them for her gigs next later this year?
Don't mention our tickets.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't meant to reveal that.
Well,
really.
Well, firstly, she's American, right? So there's all we can do about how she lives her life. But, you know, we have the big collective we as a world, we have to tax aviation, and we particularly have to tax private aviation like there's no tomorrow, because it's a big contributor to the probability that there will be no tomorrow. And these people, they're super rich. They can afford to pay it. It probably won't stop them doing it, but at least we can do something with the money, do some good, some carbon reparations, invest in green stuff, that kind of stuff. At the moment, it's a free hit. You know, something like 1% of people in the world take 50% of all flights in the world, something like that. And you know, these basically rich people are cooking the planet, and it's the poorer people that suffer the impacts of the climate crisis disproportionately. And there's an imbalance there we have to sort out. These people can afford to pay more, and then we can do something good with the money and, you know, like you know, reduce carbon emissions, for example.
What is happening in the EU voting to leave an energy treaty? What's all this about?
Well, I love that, because it was an abusive treaty, must have been dreamt up by the fossil fuel industry. When you look at it, so incredibly one-sided, gives them the right to sue countries. So you've got the idea that an international oil company can sue a country if they don't like their policies on fossil fuels. So if they're deemed to be harming their business interests, this contract said they could be sued, which is just incredible because we know we have to like stop drilling for new fossil fuels. And that, of course, is harming the business interests of big oil. And they've actually used this treaty in a couple of cases in Europe to claim compensation, silly sums of money. I mean, good news that the EU have stepped out of this contract. I don't know if the UK has yet, but there's a 20-year sunset clause, which means that for the next 20 years, they can carry on doing it.
How'd you get a 20-year sunset clause? And I mean, what fucking lawyer agreed to that? Because I can understand their lawyers going, we want a 20-year sunset clause. Yeah. But you might think that that would be a kind of bit of a deal break where the other lawyer would go, well, you can have 20 weeks. You can have 20 years.
Yeah.
We'll give you 20 weeks. That's 5 months. You know, it's all right, isn't it? 5 months. 20 years?
That's why it sounds like it was written by the fossil fuel companies, and maybe the EU didn't even read it. I don't know. But a lot of countries in the world have signed up to this 1988 Energy Charter Treaty, it's called.
Extraordinary.
It is.
Let's talk, sticking with legal matters, The judge who's thrown out a case against UK climate activists who held a sign up on jurors' rights.
Yeah. I mean, 60-year-old lady stood outside court. There was a trial of some Just Stop Oil people, I think, something like that. And she had a simple sign that said, reminding jurors or telling jurors, if they didn't know, that they could make a decision based on their conscience. That's all she did. Government had been pursuing her for a year, trying to land charges on her. That went to court. Judge threw it out, said there's no case to answer here. And on top of that, he basically accused the Attorney General or Solicitor General, whatever they're called, not quite of lying, but of absolutely fabricating and embellishing the facts of the case, because they claimed that this old lady was harassing jurors on the way into the court and intimidating them. And the judge was like, actually, she didn't talk to anybody. She just stood there and held a sign. So that's a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, what country do we live in?
Well, just to feed into that, there's another story of a GP, Dr. Sarah Benn. She's Birmingham-based, who was taken off the medical register for 5 months. This was only this week, over her climate protest.
Yes, and she said this is kicking the can down the road. They've done it because she hasn't expressed remorse and, in fact, has done the opposite and said, I'll do it again. And she said they're kicking the can down the road because in 5 months' time, nothing's going to have changed. I'll still do it again. And she's made this stand because of her oath. Is it the Hippocratic Oath?
Yeah,
as a doctor, you know, to do good, to look after people. She said the climate crisis is a health crisis and it's not in the future. It's here right now. So I'll be failing in my duty if I don't speak up. I think she was at a protest. She got jailed for 30 days, something like that. And what's linking both these cases is not just our concern, but international concern of the direction that the UK is taking on climate protests. So in the case of the old lady standing outside the court with a sign to tell jurors they could use their conscience basically to acquit, she did that because in recent months, defendants in protest cases have been banned by the judge from mentioning the climate crisis or the right to peaceful protest or the fact that they were following their consciences. As a defense, they're not allowed to use those words and they go to jail if they use them, which is just incredible. I mean, talk about trying to skew the outcome.
Let's have a little look at what Rishi Sunak has been up to.
Well, that won't take long.
All sorts of areas.
That won't take long.
It won't take long at all. Okay. Mike says, what is this man doing with unpopular policies? Firstly, the Rwanda scheme, now stripping back GPs of sick note powers, as well as scaling back green pledges. What goes on in the mind of little Rishi?
It's populism, isn't it? You know, he's picked a fight with the green economy and green issues, and that's been going on for a while. The Rwanda scheme, I mean, it's just simply ridiculous. It makes no sense. Only 3.5% of all immigrants cross the channel. But all we ever hear about is Rwanda and how we're going to spend, I think, £500 million I saw this week in total, sending people to Rwanda, which is either a holiday destination or a fucking nightmare, depending on who you listen to. But it's meant to be the great answer to 3.5% of immigrants crossing the channel, risking their lives to cross the channel, because Rwanda is either so fucking much of a nightmare that they wouldn't dream of it, or it's such a holiday destination, or hang on a minute, that would encourage them. So I'm always confused by that. Rishi Sunak says Rwanda's a great place for people to go and we're going to use it to put people off crossing the channel.
A question in from Haley, who says, would Labour reverse this policy? I think they probably would, wouldn't they?
Oh, I think so. I think they've been against it from the get-go. I have no inside knowledge there. That's my assumption, that they would, do away with it. We're spending something like £1 million per immigrant to send them to Rwanda. I mean, surely to God, we're better off finding them somewhere to live and getting them working in our economy rather than spend £1 million to send them to a holiday home or a nightmare destination. Take your pick.
It does beg a belief in terms of, you know, even if you divorce the kind of policy itself, wouldn't anybody look at something that is that costly and say, look, whatever you think the rights and wrongs are, you over there think it's good, you over there think it's bad. This is ridiculous.
It's silly. At the time when we haven't got the money to fix the roofs of our schools, right, for example, and we haven't got money for a lot of things, but it's just madness. This is populism, and this is all about the election, and it's just the wedge issues trying to get people's backs up. You know, this sick note culture thing, we do not have a sick note culture in our country, for sake. I mean, and what are these Tories, right? What do they know about work anyway, right?
And a final one, plant-based meat and dairy is good for your health and good for the environment. Now, that would sound like the most obvious statement in the world to many people, but it's lost on some.
Yes, we have a category for that kind of thing, don't we? Actually, we tell us something we don't know or something like that. I don't know.
Tell us something we didn't know, yeah.
That's what I thought when I first read it. I thought, that's nice, you know, sweet, but we know that. And then I read the story. It's actually a meta-study by the London School of Hygiene. They've collected together 90 different studies into this topic and kind of summarized their findings. And that makes it all the more powerful, actually. It's not a single study. It's the result of about 90. And they're basically saying what we all know. Plant-based meat and dairy alternatives are better for us than animal-based. And they do say for the most part, and I think that's important because as we've talked about before, you know, there's a rise of this concept of the dirty vegan food or vegan food that needs to mimic meat food. So it's high in saturated fat and salt and that kind of stuff. So I always take care to exclude that when saying that plant-based food is better for us than animals.
There it is. Dale, we'll speak in 7 days.
I can hardly wait.
Don't forget, of course, to follow this podcast from your podcast provider so that you get each new episode automatically. Really important thing is to follow Dale on social media. That's twitter.com/DaleVince, facebook.com/DaleVince, and on TikTok too.
Come on.
Zero Carbon. East on.